Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney.
We're the Happy Hipsters.
And this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this movie for you, so make sure you've already watched it. It's been so long.
Yes, we took a well-needed break, I think, to kind of reorganize Almost Nerdy and see what we want to do with that.
Yeah.
So there have been some changes, which I think are definitely for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be using them on our new series, Potter Watch, all about Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Also, a shout out to Lee Jordan for having Potter Watch in the books.
Lee Jordan, whoop, whoop. And we feature him in our Black History Month fictional characters.
Yes, we've already featured him. We love Lee Jordan. If you don't love Lee Jordan, who are you?
He's awesome. Oh my gosh.
So one of the big changes that we're doing now is we have decided that with each of our series, we want to raise money for different causes because why not?
Right,
As this is Harry Potter and it's about children, we have chosen CHOP, which is the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And we are in the suburbs, so it just felt like the right type of cause. We've specifically picked the Children's Fund there. Mm. So I want to read straight from their website because I just think that it has a really great description of what the Children's Fund does why we're raising money for it.
Yeah.
So their website says, the Children's Fund closes the gap between resources and breakthrough. Gifts to the Children's Fund are unrestricted, meaning that the funds are used where the need is greatest. It touches all areas of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and furthers the hospital's mission. Supporting the Children's Fund enables our critical work of saving children's lives. It also ensures that children have access to the nation's best children's hospital.
Mm.
So basically what we really like about this fund is that it will help people in need who don't have the money to get resources for their children.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we're hoping to raise $250 for them by April 9th.
Mm-hmm.
We will have a link on our website as well as our Instagram.
Yes. We'll have, it'll be easy from the website. You'll go straight to the page where you can donate. And same thing with the Instagram. I think that'll be... We'll make it as easy as possible for you guys. So,
yeah. So thank you for considering that. And awesome. I think we will jump into our character catch up.
Yes, get your cheap pewter cauldron for the price of 5 sickles. Very cheap. Very, very cheap. He is the youngest Quidditch player in the sanctuary, and he is living up to expectation. It's amazing.
Harry Potter joins the Wizarding World again. After his defeat of He Who Must Not Be Named 10 years prior, he was forced to live with his miserable Muggle family. Of course, Harry can't have a quiet year while he discovers the magical side of himself at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. With his new friends Ron and Hermione, they become determined to solve a mystery of the out-of-bounds corridor and what the three-headed dog is guarding. This includes a ton of rule-breaking. A baby dragon gets involved, they get detention in the Forbidden Forest, they sneak into the restricted section of the library, and make it in the trap door to stop Snape. No! Plot twist. It's actually Professor Quirrell working as Voldemort's pawn. Luckily, Lily Potter's sacrifice protects Harry against the Dark Lord, and devoid of a body again, he returns to his hiding place in Albania.
Yeah, so that's an interesting storyline. I did not expect it to be Professor Quirrell.
No.
I did not expect that. That was very surprising. Because, Snape was being weird the whole time. So it kind of made sense that, he looks like a bad guy. Like
Snape looks like a bad guy.
Dressed in all black with,
stuttering Professor Quirrell.
Right, Professor Quirrell.
He seems anxious.
Right, the whole time. But turns out Snape is innocent for now. So
For now. We'll see on the next Potter Watch if he's still innocent. So just as every Hogwarts student needs to take their OWLs, we will be putting every single movie through the RATS.
Mm, yes.
The Rating and Testing System.
Yes,
rats. The movie has, yes, they're rats. So every movie has the opportunity to get 5 stars. Shalom and I will be rating each, so we can give up to 5 stars, and then we're taking the average. It's basically how we're doing the Happy Hipsters rating system now. Mm-hmm. So you can get points for scripting and storyline, for acting, cinematography, getting the overall essence of the book, and what we call the X Factor.
The X Factor.
The X Factor.
X Factor.
So let's start with the first star. Mm-hmm. Scripting and storyline. Shalom, what would you give it?
I give it a 1.
I give it a full star as well.
Yeah. It's definitely that really came together nicely. And yeah, there's a lot. It's hard for a movie to do like an adaptation of a book. That's a difficult thing to do. But I think they did a great job.
Yeah, I think the way that I look at it is for scripting and storyline, does this movie make sense if you don't have the background of the book?
Mm.
And I think it does a good job. I think so. It's totally believable. I think the storyline makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's why I give it a full star.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Acting, what would you give it, Shalom?
I gave it a full star. I'm just saying one, but a full star. And I think it's brilliant. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with the casting because if they pick the right characters, you could tell like Ron Weasley, Hermione, all those characters are so, they make sense. Like when you see Emma Watson, like just doing her thing, I'm like, oh my gosh, like
that's Hermione. That's
perfect. Like perfect casting, you know, so that was really enjoyable. Not to say they themselves are the best actors in the world, I don't believe that, but the casting was perfect, so the acting in the movie was perfect.
I took away a quarter star, so I gave 3/4 star just because I think the kids, they're kids, they're not the best actors yet. I think they get much better as we go through the series, but in this movie, I would say I'm giving it 3/4.
Yeah,
because I think the kids in some places are a little.
I mean, kids. There are kids who have acted really badly. You know what I mean? Like they're acting like kids because they're kids. You know, it fits.
I only took away a little bit, but 3/4.
Right.
Okay. Next star, Shalom. Cinematography. What do you give it?
I gave it a 1 for that time. I think that they did what they could. I think they did what they could. Of course, there's this weird transitional phase of you had Avatar, you know, all these movies that are showing like you can get better graphics, you can get better, you know, CGI and stuff like that. In this movie, you could tell, like, you know, for the time, like people are still trying to figure out all that stuff. And I think they did a great job with what they had.
See, I gave it 1/2 star. And I think I gave it 1/2 star because I feel like they didn't really bring anything new. Like, it just, the cinematography just feels kind of standard for me. Like, it just feels like blah.
Yeah.
I think that's my thing. It's like, I feel like they didn't bring anything too new to the table. It didn't, I just feel like Harry Potter kind of has this, like, quirky but yet like dynamic feel to it, and I didn't really feel that through the cinematography of it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's the timing. I think that a lot of it has to do with that what's important. If you're telling this story, should you spend a lot of time on graphics, or should you spend a lot of time on adaptation, or should you spend a lot of time? So there's just so much.
How do you allocate your resources? How do you
allocate that? And I think they played it smart, and I think it paid off.
So then the next category is essence of the book. So how do you feel, like, basically, like, you can never do a straight from a book to a movie. Like, it's just impossible.
Right.
You can't do that. But overall, do you feel like this movie, Sorcerer's Stone, got the essence of the book?
I gave it 3/4, mainly because it was a good job. There's just a few pieces that I think are missing a little bit in terms of there's a simplicity to, you know, the Dursleys, and a simplicity to some of the the situations that are there. Like there's almost like Harry has to go shopping and then go back home.
Yeah.
Things like that. There's a feeling you get, like a time gets stretched out in the book a little bit. And I think that that's the only thing that I feel is missing in the movie. So that's the only thing that made me take a little bit out of it. But I think there's a purpose to it.
Mm.
So I can almost give it a full stop, but I'll stick with 3/4 just because that's just how I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also gave it 3/4, but I think kind of in a different way than you did. J.K. Rowling has a way of writing that is very, like, it's very clever. Mm. It's very witty, I would say. And I feel like that didn't necessarily come through this way. Like, there's a lot of very silly things, like, even the way that, like, Professor Flitwick talks, like, things like that. Like, it's, I don't really know how to describe it in words, but she has like a very distinct writing style, and I feel like that didn't necessarily come through. Like, I would argue that the third movie is where we really start to get that, where we really start to get kind of that fun side of her writing. She has this like very funny way of wording things, and I feel like that didn't really come through. This came through almost a little bit more serious, like
on the serious side.
A little bit more serious, but it's still a kids' movie, so it's fun.
Yeah,
but it's like it's almost like one note a little bit. I felt.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I think it's a lot of it has to do with the tempo. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they wanted to give it like this, like really
a quick pretty quick
tempo. Yeah, yes. So you don't get to see the Dursleys being jerks. You know, you don't get to see that. Like, or you don't get to see, like, Mr. Dursley, like, going, like, hearing about, oh, my gosh, this is what happened.
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't get to hear that. Those little connections that she, you know, Rowling puts in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of lose this natural feel of what Rowling is trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we thought. I at the same time I can see the thought process. It's not like I don't look at it and go like, oh my gosh, that was like they just chopped stuff up.
Yeah.
They just, you know, went nuts. I think that there's a purpose to what they're trying to do. You're introducing a new movie. You want people to be captivated.
Yeah.
I didn't read the book before I watched the movie, and I loved the movie because for me I like things with a quicker tempo. And so I can see why that's, you know, that was attractive to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think also, like, one of the things that I really like about J.K. Rowling's books, like, and through Harry Potter is, like, she puts all these little nuggets in, right? And those come back in later books and later places. So I do think it's a little difficult to make that much shorter. Because also, like, the kids are reading, like, they're reading articles, they're reading books. Like, you're getting all this information through things like that.
Yeah.
That help you figure out that, like, it actually is Quirrell and not Snape.
Yeah.
So I do think, like, we lose a little bit of that, which is why I took off a little bit for the book.
Yeah.
How about X Factor?
I give it a 1.
Me too.
100% X Factor, like...
It's just enjoyable.
There's something when you watch something, like, I watch a lot of movies. I watched John Wick the other day.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I was like, well, that was John Wick, you know, done. Like, it didn't really, like, just pull me in. Like, there's stuff that, like, I know they have a fan base and they're doing, you know, doing a million of those movies. I don't really care. But, like, there's something about when you watch something and it just, like, pulls you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this natural pull. And you like, I can almost tell that something is going to become a huge thing just by those things. So, except Stranger Things, completely missed out. But, but I can almost tell just by watching the first scene, I'm like, oh, there's something deep and rich about this. And that's what I felt when I watched those first scenes of Harry Potter. I was like, oh, this is rich. This is really good. And so that pulled me. Lord of the Rings is another one, you know, where it's just like you
deep see
the hobbits and all that, and you can feel it. And so that's what I experienced when I watched Harry Potter, even the first time. And and now I'm like, ooh, you know, it's got that nice, rich feeling. So
I too gave it a full star. Yeah. I just feel like when I, like, it's like when I watch the first Harry Potter movie, yeah. I have to watch the next one. And then yeah. I waste the whole weekend watching Harry Potter movies because I have to go all the way through. Like, I do this all the time. If I watch one movie, I can't help right. it. But I'm like, that I think is the mark of good storytelling.
Yeah.
As much as, like, you know, we are being critical here because we are, you know, we're rating the movies, and I feel like I can't just give it a 5-star because I just love them. I need to actually critically think about it.
Yeah.
But it's like, it does. It pulls you in, and I would say X Factor, I definitely give it, definitely give it a full star.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, when it comes down to it, I gave this movie 4 stars. Shalom gave it 4¾.
Yeah.
So it's an average of 4.4.
4.75. I'm 5 away from going to Hogwarts.
You're almost on the Hogwarts Express.
I'm almost on it.
You're almost there.
Yes.
Okay, so we are huge, huge fans of the books as well as the movies.
Yes.
We have listened to them so many times on Audible. We are not even sponsored, but I will talk about Audible. We love Jim Dale.
Oh,
he
my gosh.
Does a phenomenal, phenomenal job reading.
He does. I love that he does all the voices and even the kids too. Like, it's crazy.
Except
good.
He reads all the kids annoying. He's always like, Harry.
Harry.
But then, I'm like, stop reading but then, you like know, that.
Kids are kind of annoying sometimes.
Kids are kind of annoying, but they're not that annoying. And they're not that annoying all the time. Like, and he reads all the house elves with husky voices. And then he's like,
right.
And then he's like, they said in a squeaky voice.
I love his like, I love his impression of Winky. It's like with the hiccups.
Oh, yeah. He's really good at hiccups. He's really good at making his voice crack. It's like, he's just a great reader.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
If you haven't heard Jim Dale read them, like, you need,
oh
you
my
need
gosh.
That in your life.
It's amazing.
It's great.
Amazing.
It's great.
We go to sleep
listening to this.
Jim Dale.
this is our life. Hashtag nerdy. So, as I said, we are fans of the books as well as the movies. I feel like we can't do this without discussing something that was in the book and not in the movie that we really wish was there.
Yeah.
And then also just talking about what we think the movie did super well from the book. Like, what translated from the book into the movie really well.
Yes.
Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
I think I wanted to see a little bit more of, like, you know, the dueling, like, all that stuff. Like, I thought...
The night duel.
I thought that was cool. Like, I thought that was a cool idea, and I wish that they had kind of added that. But I get it. And it's like, I'm kind of in this weird place where, like I said before, there are things that are not there, but I see the thought process. I see what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really upset about those things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's for me, like, I, you know, the other movies are the ones that I think I have more stuff that
yeah.
where I'm like, oh my gosh, I really wish this was there. But in this one, I'm content. I'm pretty content with what's there. But the dueling, night dueling, not really
Draco.
The night dueling part, but then them leaving the sneaking out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
I am totally okay with them dropping that scene because that used to give me such high anxiety.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when I was a kid, I had a hard time with, like, I think I was really empathetic.
Yeah.
So I would read a story and get, like, so involved in it.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even watch the cartoon Doug because Doug had such high anxiety about social situations that I would, like, get anxious for him and be like, you're going to make a fool of yourself. Don't do it. So, like, when Harry does things, like, sneaks out. And, like, I know he's going to get detention.
Yeah.
It would give me such anxiety. I would be sitting there reading this book in my bedroom and, like, sweating. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Harry, what are you doing? Draco is clearly trying to, like, goat you. Like, don't do it. Like, don't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm totally okay with them leaving that scene out because it gave me such anxiety as a kid that I'm totally okay with it. For me, I think... The thing that I wish that we saw more of in this movie, which is, I think, almost a little hard because I think they did a really good job for the most part translating the two, is I wish that we saw a little bit more of Neville because I think that Neville is one of those secondary characters where his transformation, like, character arc from the beginning of the series to the end of the series is so dramatic. Mm. But you start to see those little nuggets now. Mm. So, like, one of the things is that when they go to get rid of, they go to bring Norbert to the tallest tower.
Yeah.
Right? To give to Charlie.
Right.
Draco finds the note in in Ron's book.
Right.
And that's how he knows to go get them in trouble.
Right.
But Neville overhears Draco is going to get them in trouble. And he's already, like, you know, trying to protect his friends. He's already trying to stick up for his friends. Even though he's, like, a little bit more, I would say cautious, a little bit more, like, timid.
Yeah.
Even though that is his personality, he still has these Gryffindor, like, traits about him.
Right.
And I really like his transformation. Because I do think sometimes the house system is taken very literally. Like, I know a lot of people are like, why is Hermione not in Ravenclaw? I would say Hermione's not in Ravenclaw because I don't think she's creative of a thinker enough. And I think she has a lot of traits.
You don't think she's creative enough?
No, I don't think she's a creative thinker.
Wow.
She's very literal. Like, she's very, very literal. And I don't think that she's highly logical.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I mean... Yeah, like, I mean, she's done quite a few creative things, you know. Like,
kind of.
I guess maybe that we wouldn't call them creative. We'd call them she is informed.
Yes.
So she just applies. Okay.
Yeah.
I hear that.
She's very, like, she's basically a young McGonagall, I would say.
Right.
So.
But I hear that.
So, anyway, I do like that we see quite a variety of different types of people within the houses.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of mixed up.
Yeah, kind of mixed up. So I wish we saw a little bit more Neville because it does, I think it does lend to his story and where he ends up at the end of the books.
Yeah.
At the end of the series.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Neville is given a hard time in the books.
Yeah.
You know, and it only makes sense that at the end he's kind of the guy who, I mean, we all know if you're listening to this and you haven't watched the movies, I don't know. So I
want to spoil
it. I'm spoiling it. When he cuts the snake's head off, I thought that was like good. It was justification. And you're right. Like, I think that, you know, even though he's having a hard time, you see those snippets of the bravery, the courage, the, you know, and it's cool. And he stands up to his friends in the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I agree. Like, you still wish he would get more
screen light time.
Shined on him. But part of me also wonders if that has to do with kind of there's this old way of movies where it's like here's the main character, the good guy, here's the bad guy, here's the kind of the doofy, not cool person. And these weird separations of like society, I think, that you see expressed in movies. And I think that, you know, had she done the movie today, she probably would have mixed it up a little bit, given Neville a little bit of light, given more opportunities to shine even before the snake head cutting part.
Yeah. I would also argue that if they were to do Harry Potter today, I think they would have done it as a series.
Absolutely.
And I mean, as we get farther into this series, I think there are things that get cut that I really think J.K. Rowling was ahead of her time with the topics that she was talking about.
Yes.
And it's like, these are, like, there's a lot of social justice in here. There's a lot of, like, standing up for the oppressed. There's a lot of things like that. A lot of themes that she does that kind of get cut.
Yeah.
And I also get it because it's like, you have 2.5 hours to tell a story of, like, a million page book.
Yeah.
That's very information dense. Like, it's there's a lot of information that J.K. Rowling pumps into these books.
A lot, yeah. That's so true.
But we'll talk about those as we move through the series. Obviously, we're very excited about it. We're very, very passionate about this.
Yeah.
So what was something, like, what was the one thing that you would say, like, they totally brought to life? Like, what was the thing that, like, when it was on the screen, you were like, oh my gosh, like, they nailed it.
Yeah. I love sports, so Quidditch definitely is the thing that, for me, like, I was like, oh my gosh. So, full, like, disclosure, like, I watched the movie before I read the book, right? So, for me, I didn't get the experience of reading something and being like, ooh, what is this going to be like? Mm-hmm. And then seeing the movie and like, wow, okay, that's what they were thinking. So for me, like, I had kind of a reverse experience, but still listening to the book and having watched the movies, mm-hmm. It made so much sense. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so great. Like, it's so great that they got to do that. They got to, like, take this sport, mm-hmm. this sport that, you know, like, something like that did not exist ever before.
Yeah.
They took this concept that Rowling came up with and they made it a real thing. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's like wizards running on brooms and catching snitches and these bludgers flying all around, you know. And so, like, it's impressive. It's an impressive concept. The scoring system is impressive. I think that it's unfair that, like, you know, you can score like a million goals and one person has to catch a snitch and like...
I think catching the snitch is pretty hard.
I would argue about that. Like, I'm like, okay, like, can we discuss the rulings, that scoring system? but yeah, like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really feel like they brought that to life.
Yeah.
Like, they really, really brought Quidditch to life. Mm. And Quidditch is like, Harry Potter he's a jock. Like, he really is a jock.
Yeah.
And, like, they brought that to life, I felt and I think in a time when something like Quidditch hadn't really been seen yet, like, I'm talking, like, special effects-wise.
Right.
Like, I feel like they really had to bring that to life because there wasn't really CGI like that at the time that Sorcerer's Stone came out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So I really think that they did a good job. Mm-hmm. And I was reading an article about them like creating Quidditch and like what that visually and like what that looked like. Because I know, I think in the books, they don't really talk about what the stands look like, what the spectators
look like. What people see it
look
and
like.
Everything, yeah.
And they were talking about how they really wanted it to have that kind of like grand feeling, like this is an event. This is our sports stadium. Mm. Like, this is what the kids do for fun. Like, it needs to have like a certain look, and they wanted it to be colorful and all these things. And I love the sound effects that the bludger makes. I think that's my favorite. It's like, like, it sounds angry.
Right. Hence, like, the name is a bludger.
The bludger. And that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think they really brought that to life.
Yeah.
I would say, for me, mine isn't, like, a specific event. Mine is, like, almost a feeling, actually. Mm. I think that they brought the feeling of Hogwarts and Harry's feeling towards Hogwarts to life.
Mm.
So, like, Harry's grown up in this muggle family, right, where they, like, treat him horribly.
Right.
And and he comes to this castle that's warm and inviting.
Mm.
And I just felt like they brought the magic to life. Mm. You know, he's walking through and the portraits are speaking to him and the staircases are moving.
Right.
And the, like, you know, there's this common room and the bedroom. And I just feel like they really brought that, the home. Like, that's where Harry feels at home. Mm. And, like, I felt like they brought that feeling to the movie. And I think that that's something hard to, like, give an audience the feeling that the character is feeling.
Yeah.
To life.
That's really
good.
And
I really, really like that.
That's really good. I agree. Like, I think I love the concept of escape. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I love Lord of the Rings. Even though it's not really escape from a bad life, it's kind of escape from boredom, you know, and Hobbit. Basically coming from one reality and just experiencing something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really love what happens here with Harry. It's like he is in this one reality, you know, living with the Dursleys, they're jerks. And then he goes to this place and it's like, oh, I love that. Like, there's just that sense of escape. And I thought that was something that is, like, really well put in this context, like, and really well done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree.
Yeah.
So I have some Harry Potter hypotheticals.
Hypotheticals.
We're going to do three for every episode. Because we just love talking about if we lived in this world, what it would be like.
I have a friend who like says that. He says that a lot. Like, he's like, yeah, like, I always think about going to Hogwarts. And I think that's cool. Me.
I've been waiting for my letter for like years now.
I was 12.
I've been waiting. It hasn't come yet. So, Shalom. Mm. You are getting ready to go to Hogwarts. You're getting your wand for the very first time.
Wow.
What is your wand like?
My wand?
Yeah. So what's the core?
The core? I'll say the core would be... The core would probably be like something lion related. Like lion mane.
So you're not going... You're not even going from the like standard...
Like, yeah, I was just
you have something completely different. Yeah. You're not even going to Ollivander's then, because Ollivander only does...
Like Phoenix?
Well, he only does Phoenix, Dragon Heartstring, or Unicorn.
Yeah, I'll find Grigorovich or something.
Shalom's off like someone else.
I'm going to find Grigorovich and be like, yo, put a lion mane in mine.
Well, it needs to be something magical, though.
It's a magical lion.
Okay, it's a magical lion.
It's Simba.
No, it's the from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It's that right, one.
Yes.
Oh, what's that thing called? The like.
Yeah, Flo's. We'll find out, but like it's like something like that. Like
Okay, so it's the hair from that, and then what kind of wood is it?
What kind of wood? I would say mahogany.
Ooh, yeah, mahogany. Yeah. Okay, and then. Is it like the how they do like the flexibility? Like it's unyielding, it's brittle, it's
something in the middle, I think. Like I don't want it to feel too stiff on my hand. I want it to be like to feel slightly nice.
Supple,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yes. Maybe not supple, but like kind of like
slightly yielding.
Yeah.
Flexible. They use different words. Is it yielding or flexible, would you say?
I'd say it's in the middle.
Okay. So I would definitely have unicorn hair because I think that they sparkle and they're beautiful and I love them.
Nice.
I would pick holly because I think I like the color. Mm. It's like kind of a nice light color. Mm. I think I am unbending.
Mm.
So it's not, I'm not rigid.
Mm.
But I'm not like, I think I'm a secure person, so it would be unbending.
Mm.
And then I would have the smallest wand available, which is 9.5 inches.
Mm. Mm. Wow. Like, I mean, I'll probably have, what are the lengths? It's 9.5 inches.
It goes up to 14.5.
14.5 inches. I'll probably go with that. I'll probably go with the longer one.
The biggest one.
Because I want to use it as a sword as well. Like, so I'm a jab.
Can't jab people.
No, you never know. You never know what happens. You never know. Because you'd be like, ah, and they just go jab.
Wow, you're like a classic, like wand up the nose of the troll.
Yeah,
to like beat
that,
him.
That kind of stuff. That's
Shalom. So Shalom has made up his own, like, he's made up his own wand.
Yes. Yay!
Oh, man. Okay, so now you're at Hogwarts and you're getting sorted. Okay. What house are you in and why?
I'm definitely in Gryffindor. Like this, like I would have the Malfoy experience, except like in like Gryffindor.
Oh, like
before
stunning.
The hair even like sits on me, like Gryffindor.
I would definitely be in Ravenclaw. Mm. Definitely be in Ravenclaw. Although I have to say, as I've gotten older, I think that I have a lot of Hufflepuff tendencies.
Mm.
But I think like myself, like my younger self, like immediate Ravenclaw. Like immediate.
Mm.
It would have like touched my head, be like Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
Just because I think I'm not kind of like student. But I think I would have a lot of Hufflepuff friends.
I think so. I can see that.
I think 11-year-old Courtney and Shalom maybe would not have gotten along.
They would not.
Because 11-year-old...
Even in real life. probably.
No, I mean like in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, definitely oh, yeah. not. I would be like, I'd be like, you never do your homework. Stop trying to copy from me.
Like, that's so true.
I'd be like, go to the library yourself. I don't think we would have been friends.
I identify with Harry and Ron. Like, it's like homework. You do. Homework sucked. I'm not going to lie. That was the worst thing. It's like, okay, you've done your schoolwork. Now go do some more work at home. I'm like, I just want to go home and play, you know?
That's
so many cartoons to watch.
I'm like, look at all the books I can read. And my last Harry Potter hypothetical is, what pet would you bring to school with you?
So you can bring an owl, a toad, or a cat. Is that it?
I guess you can bring a rat, technically.
A rat? I mean,
Ron yeah. does.
Huh. So those are the only ones you can bring?
Yeah, that's what you can bring.
That's a tough one. I'll bring an owl, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bring the biggest thing I can bring.
You would have a huge owl.
Huge owl. A daddy owl. Like, big.
The biggest one available.
Yeah. So I can, I don't know, you can sit on my shoulders as I walk around.
You wouldn't have a pigwidgeon.
Yeah.
Not like, a little one.
If you're on Twitter, just go check out the owl
meme
that's like just came out. It's pretty hilarious.
Is that the one that you would have?
Oh my gosh.
I think I would bring a cat. Because I would want an animal that would want to sit on my lap while I was studying.
My cat's so grumpy though.
Some are. Listen, I'm mostly a dog person, but if I was going to Hogwarts, I would bring a cat with me.
Oh, wow.
I just love petting fluffy things.
Just fluffy. But then they don't like being pet.
Some do.
They do?
Some do.
They're so light. They feel so like... They feel like a... I've held a baby once a few times. It's like that feeling where you're like, I feel like I'm touching something, but I'm not. It's like super light and weird feeling. That, yeah.
Shlomo has held a baby twice. In his whole life.
No, maybe more times. I can't remember. But like, I wipe it out of my memory. It's scary.
You're hilarious. Are there any other parts of the movie or the story that you want to touch on before we talk about, we are doing Harry Potter hot takes and we have a hot take for you. But is there anything else that you want to touch on before we move on?
No, I love this movie. I love everything they did in this movie. It was such an original idea. I'm really hoping for more stuff like that to come out nowadays. Where it's just an original, where we're not redoing Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings. Apparently there's a Lord of the Rings series coming out. And I do not approve. We'll probably watch it and judge it. I'll do my best to be objective, but I just thought such a fresh original idea. J.K. Rowling killed it.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, kind of went south a little bit, but killed it with the Harry Potter movies.
Unpopular opinion: I really enjoy Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah,
the new series that she's doing.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of Harry Potter fans out there who want to pick them apart and all that.
Yeah,
But I actually genuinely think that they're a pretty good story.
Yeah, I would say, like, I mean, I'm not really having issues with those movies. It's kind of like some of the things she said, around these movies.
Yeah,
where I'm like, dude, just move on.
Or she's like, don't add wizards used to just go to the bathroom wherever and then disappear the evidence. Yeah, and I'm like, what? I didn't need to know that.
Right, TMI, J.K. Rowling, TMI.
We're good. Right. I didn't need to know that. Like, I'm okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I'm vindictive. So for me, I went online last week and I was looking up all the characters I hated and wanted to see how their lives ended so I can feel fulfilled.
Umbridge.
I want to know what happened to Umbridge. Is he in jail? Or she better be in jail.
So I just have one thing that I want to say about this movie. It blows my mind that the Dursleys were not reported to like some sort of social services at all, because they have two children, right? Mm-hmm. Going to the same school.
Mm.
And one is clearly like well fed, yeah. has clothes that fit him. He's yeah. got all the new stuff, right? And then yeah. the other one is like super skinny. Mm. He is like, he looks miserable all the time. Like yeah. he's wearing clothes yeah. that are way too big for him. Mm. Like, how is that not? And he's living in a cupboard under the stairs.
Right. Mm.
You know? I'm yeah. like, I'm like, how are they not reported?
It's like, how are you not in jail right now? Like, yeah, I mean, that's
maybe it's under the like, maybe it's under the pretense of like the, because I think the very last book is technically supposed to take place in like 1998.
Mm.
So it's like maybe that it's just under the pretense of like it was the 90s.
It was the 90s. It was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that was something that would have been looked into though.
I think that sometimes what happens is people don't. Don't process that, you know what I mean? Unless if someone, if a kid, you know, is at school and they have a bruise on their face, yeah. right? Like, I think people don't normally process, like, hey, like, we've noticed you dress differently than him. You look mm-hmm. skinnier than him. And you yeah. look, you know, sometimes people will just be like, ah, that's just the way it is. Because I've seen, like, families where, like, where one kid dresses one way, another kid dresses like they are just, you know, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. they don't have much. But, like, they're from the same house.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just like the one kid doesn't take care of their clothes as yeah. well as the other. Like,
yeah.
it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like that. But I can see people kind of excusing stuff away.
Yeah.
I think people noticed, but they probably just like kind of brushed it off too, you know.
Like, meh.
Yeah.
Meh. I also think it's slightly hilarious that all these, that the teachers, like, did all of these things to, like, prevent anyone, like, adults
mm.
from getting to the Sorcerer's Stone. And then, like, three 11-year-olds break through everything. Right. Like, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's, I think that's what made Harry so special,
mm.
you know, because in a sense,
he would have died without Hermione, though.
I have some theories around, you know, the Horcrux. That's uh-huh. He is a Horcrux.
Yes.
So, part of me always wonders how the two, Harry's essence
uh-huh.
and the Horcrux part,
uh-huh.
how those two interacted and mm. what parts of Harry's wits and cleverness mixed with his heart and the passion that was in him. You know mm. what I mean? And so, and then there are all these concepts around like his father and like his personality, like that. I'll definitely talk about that more as mm-hmm. we go along. But sometimes I wonder if some of his success is really, there's a part of him that's much more mature and clever mm. than his actual mm-hmm. Essence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. That's definitely an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Oh, and I have one last thing before we do our Harry Potter hot take.
Mm.
Dumbledore mm. awarding points at the end. I'm like, you just wanted Gryffindor to win. Like, it makes me like legitimately like angry on behalf of the Slytherins that like I feel like Dumbledore was just like.
Mm-hmm.
You played Wizard's Chest, 50 mm. points. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Like, mm-hmm. what?
mm. Again, coming back to, like, the times where, you know, you ever watch those TV shows where the bad, it's like a singing competition. The bad guy goes, woo, woo, is it a phenomenal singer? And then, like, the good, like, okay, good example.
Uh-huh.
High School Musical, right?
Yeah.
You know, they go, pop, 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 do the top, do it, do it, do. I'm like, that's very impressive. They can sing.
Yeah.
I'm like, they can sing. And then the other guys just go, soaring, fly. And they're like, woo, you guys are the best. I'm like, okay, you clearly just awarded a good guy. Because he's the good
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
It's not really by merit. And I feel like you see that a lot in a lot of TV shows at that time where the good guy has to win. The good guy has to be the winner at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But also, the bad guy doesn't have a lot of nuances to his story, his yeah. or her story. So you don't feel sorry for the bad guy. You're like, yeah, you loser, right?
And so yeah, that, loser
Slytherin. And that's what it looks like in that situation. It's like those are just the times, and that's likewise.
I do think though approach. that changes as the story. I feel like the story matures as Harry matures, right. And we do get like. As the story goes on, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily have the... Like, Draco Malfoy, I think, becomes more complex, especially in Half-Blood Prince. I think right. his character becomes a lot more complex, and you don't just, like, kind of hate Draco.
Yes.
Like, I feel like you feel a lot of sympathy for him.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Like, it gets better as time goes along.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wonder if that has to do with as she wrote it. Times she was like, a little bit, you know what
she
I mean?
Was like, where oh, I can't just have the Gryffindor win because right. I'm pretty sure she identifies as a Gryffindor as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so she is biased to Gryffindor. So you know, honestly, I mean, like, let's not fool ourselves. There is a lot of kind of like that bias to
yeah.
the Gryffindor house, and it makes sense. She identifies with it, and mm-hmm. We'll see that a number of times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you ready for the Harry Potter hot take?
Hot take. Hit me.
Okay, so I will have 1 minute to give you my Harry Potter hot take, yeah. and then we'll discuss after.
Yes, so let it all out.
I'm about to set a timer.
Mm-hmm. Set a timer.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, so my hot take is about stop villainizing Slytherins.
Mm.
So this is my thing. I think it's very, very unfair that... They basically villainize Slytherin the entire time. Anyone who's in Slytherin. Like, they keep saying over and over again, there's not a wizard who didn't go bad who wasn't in Slytherin. Which, right. A, is not true. And I have some examples. First of all, I think Lockhart was a terrible person. An absolute, absolute terrible person. He was erasing minds, taking work for his own, and promoting it as himself. And he was in Ravenclaw.
Mm.
We have Albus Dumbledore, who basically gives Grindelwald... his slogan, right? Mm-hmm. And he was in Gryffindor. Does he come around? Yes, he does. But he was heading down a bad path for a little while there.
Mm.
And then the worst of all, you have Peter Pettigrew, also a Gryffindor,
mm.
who gives away Lily and James Potter to Voldemort.
Mm.
So I don't think just because you're in Slytherin, you are a bad person. Done.
Wow. Well, that was pretty good. And the alarm is going off. I thought that was really good. Yeah, like I agree with that. I agree with coming back to the times where it's like in those times it was like, who's the enemy? I want one person to hate and I want to just hate them so much, and I want the good guy to win over the bad guy. That's how I feel good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think over time you start to see little snippets of, okay, the bad guy is more complicated. There's a story behind it, or even sometimes, oh, how about we actually say. There's no bad guy in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see that a lot in you know, what we recently saw in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America and Iron Man are fighting, but it's like there's a debate that goes on. And
yes.
even you see with fans, like the debate happening as well.
Yeah.
It's like there's a humanity to the conversation. And I think that in this situation, Harry Potter is 100% enjoyable. 100% enjoyable. But at the same time, you can't help but notice some of those things. Where it's like they just went Slytherin bad, Gryffindor
good,
and it's like no, everything is mixed up. And you're right. Like she does course correct. Like at the very end, she does say, you know, I mean, with the kid, with Albus,
with Albus Potter,
you know,
Albus Severus,
right? and she's like, yeah, like one of the greatest man I've ever known, bravest man,
was in Slytherin.
And I wonder if that's her story, the moral of her story.
Mm.
I feel like maybe she wanted to pull people in with the common like the common storyline, so that we pick our sides, right?
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, Gryffindor is so awesome. And then over time, you see that. And you see that with the same theme. One of the things to watch as you watch the show is, you have your mother's eyes. You look like your father, but you have your mother's eyes.
Yeah.
I think that's a very important line
that
becomes very thematic as we go through the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets more complex as it goes along.
Mm-hmm.
And And she got us good. Like, her writing style is really, you like, I almost feel like she supports one person over another.
Yeah.
And then she actually has this twist.
She always twists it.
At the very end.
But
where
I love
like,
it.
You're like, oh, snap, you know. And so that she's a brilliant writer.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm excited to go through the other movies as well so we can discuss some of those things.
Yeah, really get into that.
Yeah.
I think, side note, talking about the mother's eyes thing is I feel like when you're a child, like, you kind of want to identify with, like, whatever, like, it's almost like girls kind of want to identify with their mom, like, boys want to identify with their dad, right? Like, you have that going on. And I think it's very interesting because, like, you know, the eyes are often talked about as, like, that's, like, the portal to your soul, right? Like, to your essence, like, who you are. And Harry is a lot like his mom. Like, as we learn, as we go through, like, he's a lot more like his mom, but he's got, you know, his dad's tendencies for rule breaking and such, but it's essentially his mom over and over and over again who saves him.
Right.
Like, that's his mom and that love, like, that's what saves him. So I actually think it's really interesting, like, we talk about James Potter a lot more than we talk about Lily, but in the end, like, that's Lily's... Like, the most important.
Yes.
She's the most important.
Yes.
So, but back to my Slytherin, demonizing Slytherins. I've thought a lot about this. I almost wonder if what happened was they have the four houses and Voldemort comes along, right? Tom Riddle comes along and he decides that he is going to make Slytherin an icon. He took a symbol and transitions it into something else. So now people who have this natural bias, who think that, like, pure blood is the only way, he turns it into a hate thing. Instead of it just being a preference.
Right.
Where, like, I mean, that's why Salazar Slytherin leaves the school in the first place. Right. He has that argument with Gryffindor, like, we should only be letting purebloods in. And everybody else is like, that's absolutely crazy. And he leaves. But it's like... He's the one who actually decides to act on it and actually start killing people with the basilisk. You know, he's the one who does that. So I do wonder.
But he's Slytherin left it there, right?
He left it there. Right. Uh-huh. But I'm just saying, but he didn't go about killing people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he wasn't going to do anything. He was just angry that they were let in. He didn't do anything malicious.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that was just his pet, which is pretty. Pretty irresponsible to just leave your pet snake alone.
Right. Does the pet only get like half bloods? Is that the
It can what kill anyone.
Or anybody.
Yeah, it can kill. I mean, it can kill anyone.
Okay. But, okay, that's
Tom Riddle decides to specifically target people who he call, like,
oh, so he sends the snake
Muggleborns. He specifically chooses that. So I do wonder if, like, the Slytherin name almost gets tarnished because of Voldemort. And that's why I think, like, there is a switch at the very end of this series where it's like, once they've, like, defeated him, right, they still keep the house system. But it's almost like, did we go back to a normal balance where it's like, now it's just... You're just sorted.
Yeah.
And, like, there isn't this, there's not almost a pride to being in this house because of a hatred. It's a pride in the house because you just value these certain things. Does that make sense?
That, I think that's a tough one. I think that there are certain ways of thinking that can seem innocent. Mm-hmm. But they do create opportunity for hate, like, in this situation where that's a lot of politics today, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of politics today. You don't hear people on TV going, like, you know, we hate Mexicans or we hate, you know, there's this rationale approach that happens where it's like, it's rationale and a lot of
which leaders, allows for the hatred.
Which allows for the hatred. And a lot of these leaders, That's what really what they're setting up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'd say, like, Slytherins shouldn't be villainized you shouldn't say, oh, you're Slytherin, you're evil.
Yes.
But I think that the foundations of the house need to be addressed. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, you know, he hated people who were not purebloods. He was hateful.
Yeah.
You know, he was hateful.
Yeah.
And I think that when we address it like that, then we can still say we're going to keep or either keep the house or name it something different or whatever. But, like, you know, because the whole idea around Slytherin is you're ambitious, you want to make things happen, you're clever.
Like, there's lots of really great characteristics.
Even Harry, like, the hat is like, I don't know what to do, you know, like,
because he has
two traits, right?
Honestly, Gryffindor and Slytherin are almost the same house.
Almost the same.
They're actually almost the same house. It just is like, I think, I would argue that Gryffindor is a little bit more, brawny. Like, a little bit more, like, they're into the actions a little bit more. Yeah. Whereas I would say that Slytherin is a little bit more clever.
Mm.
Not that you both can't be clever, but I'm just saying they lean harder on these aspects of their personality.
Yeah.
Gryffindor
is like the soldiers and Slytherin as the politicians.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't think, but again, like, I think it's really unfair to be like, if you're in Slytherin, you're automatically a bad person.
Yeah, and I think coming back to this, like I said, it's like okay, if we can identify it like that and be like, wow, Slytherin likes to scheme and to plan and to, you know, kind of like your Peter Wiggin type of personality, if you watch Ender's Game. so it's kind of like the schemer, the person who comes up with an idea and a plan and a concept, and because you can see that even with. You know, Voldemort, he's a strategist.
Yes.
He's a master strategist.
Very, very strategic.
And I think that's the thing where if we can identify it like that and be like, how can we use our scheming and our strategy and use it for good?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea around Slytherin is kind of like he's known as he did not want anyone who had any muggle born of any sort, right? He wanted pure blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that made him, that just makes the name itself so hard to clean up. It's hard to clean it, you know, mm-hmm. It's hard. And it does create the tone that we see that with James Potter and Snape. You see that with mm-hmm. Harry and Malfoy. You kind of see that over time, like where it's like there is a, even Harry's kid is like going like, I don't want to be in Slytherin.
Yeah.
So it's like there is this, it goes from generation to generation. And I'm glad Harry says, I mean, at the end, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
In the last movie, Harry says that it's fine. I think that it's kind of, if you really think about it, you know, my progressive mind says remove it completely.
Mm.
Then there's a part that says like, okay, maybe let's find a halfway ground or let's just keep them, but let's make sure that you address those things in the houses. The houses need to have some sort of program that says, hey, like, we want to talk about this relationship, about Slytherin. Hear bad things about Slytherin, but it doesn't mean you guys are bad. It means how can we use that as a lesson for you guys to still keep the wits and all that and do good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like you can't have a house based on hatred, basically. Like the pure blood status like can't be a reason that you're in Slytherin.
Right.
Like that they just need to take that out. Like you can't get sorted based on that. Like you can't not be a Slytherin because you're half blood.
Yes.
Like that just shouldn't, that's not allowed.
Yes.
So I think that would help a lot.
Yes.
With just like that concept.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think though that like the underlying current was already there.
Right.
And then it was only, that whole problem was only exacerbated by Tom Riddle being the heir of Slytherin.
Right.
And then him taking that and using that as like almost a base for him to spread his hatred.
Hatred.
Which brings me to the point that Hogwarts has a terrible bullying policy.
Right.
They're like, they do not like care about bullying at all, I feel like. There's like some terrible, terrible things that like Draco says to Harry, that Harry says to Draco. And I'm like, this is wild.
Yeah.
Like, They like really tolerate a lot of bullying.
It's like in a school. Hogwarts is a school.
I'm just saying though. The school that I went to, like my middle school and high school, we had a zero tolerance policy for bullying. Any form of bullying, even if it would be seen as like in quotes like minute, you got detention or you got like certain levels, you got suspended. Mm. So I grew up in a school like that, and I had a pretty good schooling experience, I feel like I didn't really get bullied or anything.
Yeah, and that's an exception, right? Like it's not the norm.
That's what I'm saying though. Yeah. Like I think because I had such a good experience, for me it's like when I see stuff like that, I'm like, it's like you need to have a zero tolerance policy. Yeah. Like you need to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I grew up in a different system where it's like. It was like, you either fend for yourself or get smushed, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of like, so that's how when I watched it, I was like, that looks about right. It's just magic.
It's just magic now. Yeah.
So I think that it's definitely one of those things where it's like, okay, like, where's the line? When do you stop them from, from doing stuff? When do you actually like have harsher rules and stuff like that? And, but definitely, like, I'm sure if you and I worked at Hogwarts, we'd figure it all out. We'd come up with we would change the rules and work on the housing system.
Imagine
all the good we could do.
Yeah, we'd do so much good. So, one of the things that we absolutely love about Harry Potter is there are a lot of these like moral dilemmas, right? Mm. Like, they get harder as Harry gets older. Mm-hmm. But I think in this one, we kind of just picked one moral dilemma. I think in the future, we might have two. So Shalom might pick one and I might pick one.
Yeah.
But I think for this one, our moral dilemma is, at what lengths do you break rules in order to like do good? I feel like that's Harry's moral dilemma here, and Hermione says it, you know. Mm-hmm. she's like I'm going to bed before we get killed or worse expelled. expelled, because Harry, Hermione, and Ron break a lot of rules in order to get the Sorcerer's Stone. So like, what, like, where do you think we land with that, Shalom?
Ooh, I think some of it has to do with you mentioned Hermione and I think that Rowling had Hermione and Ron in the situation where Ron is probably would be super naughty by himself. You'd be like super naughty, you know. Harry's kind of in the middle, and then you've got Hermione, who's like super like, oh my gosh, let's keep this safe, let's keep it.
Yeah.
And I think that in this situation, it's like, if Hermione goes like, we need to break this rule, then you probably need to, you know what I mean, to do the right thing, right? And so, but then at the same time, you've got like Ron and Harry are going like, we always need to break rules. If I need to figure something out, I need to do it now. I need to, like, I don't care what rule I'm breaking. I need to go to Hagrid's hut and ask him this question right now. I don't care if it's like 12 midnight. I'll go ask him a question. So it's like, it's kind of like, but I think with these, in their friendship, there are moments where there's a balance that happens where, you know, Hermione will be like, no, let's not do this. And then sometimes Harry won't listen to Hermione when Hermione puts a foot down and says, let's not do this, and Harry ignores her, the really bad things have happened. and then also there are times where Hermione is hesitant and Harry's like, we need to do this, and they do something and it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I think there's a relationship balance there. And so at the same time, it's like, okay, like if I feel like Dumbledore, the way he processes the rules, I think Dumbledore is naughty. I think he's definitely
naughty.
And he's the principal of the school. And so I think that in Dumbledore's mind, he's saying there is a reason for the rule, right? So he's saying like, okay, if I'm saying don't go into the woods, it's because they're like things that want to murder you there, right? Because
Hagrid keeps every monster in there.
In the woods. All of Hagrid's friends are hanging out there.
And they will eat you.
They will eat you. And except the unicorns. And so, like, I think that is something that, like, you see a lot, like, where it's like, what's the reason? What's the reason why I'm breaking this rule? Mm. If it's an important reason, if there's a purpose, or rather, why is this rule there in the first place? Mm-hmm. Is it just to be like, be quiet so you can learn to be quiet? Or is it like, be quiet so that, like, you're not hurt by this, and not something bad happens, whatever, you know? So it's kind of like, that's kind of how I process that. Like, you know, I'm wired that way. So I'm like, if I hear a rule, I'm like, if I don't know why the rule is there, I'm probably going to break it. You're the worst. If, like, for me, I'm like, if someone is like, don't cut across the grass, and, you know,
Sloan's going to walk across the grass.
I'm probably going to walk across. I'm like,
I will walk on the sidewalk.
But if someone says, oh, there are landmines in that section, don't cut across the grass, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to live. So I'm going to go around. You know? So, so I think that's kind of how I process that. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I really agree with Snape. And I'm like, Harry is, like, flagrantly just breaking rules. He is, like... Like, what? I'm thinking about this. And I'm like, what is he freaking thinking? Like, what are you thinking? There are all these enchantments and barriers to keep, like, adults out, right? To keep adults from getting this stone. And, like, and you think that you're going to, like, break in and protect this stone. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're so arrogant sometimes.
But you went to McGonagall, though, and said, hey, McGonagall, something bad's going to happen. And McGonagall was like, Potter, no.
Well, I mean, who's going to, like, come on. Like, who's going to believe Harry? Like, I get it. But I'm just like, bro, what are you doing? Like, this is for your own safety. Like, this is for your own safety. And I'm just like... I was like, oh my gosh, they're trying to keep this kid alive. And he's like doing everything he possibly can to die. Like, that's what it feels like. I'm like, what is wrong with you? But then it gets rewarded for it. You know what I mean? Then it gets 50 points for Gryffindor. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy town. I think at the end of the day, though, it's like he did make the right choice, I guess. Because he knew, like, he stopped Voldemort from getting life again.
Yeah.
But did he, though? Because Quirrell wouldn't have been able to get the stone anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, did he put himself in more danger, though, by going through all of those obstacles and then... going in there, like, he actually almost put himself in more danger, I think, because
he almost helped Voldemort
get it because Harry was able to take it out.
But
I also think that, like, we kind of need, I mean, it's a story, so it's gonna be fantastical.
This is not the first time Harry gets used, by the way.
Not the first time.
but coming back to I think it kind of swings back to, like, what I said about the Horcrux. I really think, like, there's a part of Harry that's, like, kind of, like, fighting against him a little bit. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think he's naughty.
No. The naughty is there. All of that is there. But I think that, like, the decisions, the choices, I feel like the Horcrux might have something to do with it as well. Like, it's a possibility. But I think, definitely naughty, definitely... makes some pretty dumb decisions, but he's making them for the right reasons. He wants to fight Voldemort.
Wow.
Oh, craziness. Okay, so we are going to wrap this up. This was so much fun. I actually enjoyed this a lot.
This is probably my favorite series that we'll ever do. I'm such a Potterhead. I just love talking about Harry Potter. I could talk about Harry Potter all the time.
All the time.
I always am like, if someone's like, why did you do it that way? I'm like, I mean, I'm a classic Ravenclaw, so of course I'm going to do it this way. Like, I just use it in, like, general, like, I just talk like that.
So, yeah.
Yeah, this was so much fun.
Yeah.
Again, we just want to remind you, if you are willing and able to please, please donate to the Children's Fund. You'll be able to find the links on our Instagram and our website. So please, if you're able to do that, we would really love to be able to raise at least $250 by April 9th.
April 9th. And it's going to chop, 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 chop.
It's so weird.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.